When I stepped away from the microphone yesterday, I was in the middle of a story that Moses was rehearsing in the ears of the children of Israel. He was reminding them of their past journey for the last 40 years. He reminded them of the words of God. He reminded them that they rejected God's word, doubted that God could do what he said he could do, and he points out the consequences in order to motivate them in the future. In the future, he would tell them, trust in God, and it will go well with you and your children. In our lesson yesterday, we talked about the 12 spies that Moses had sent to spy out the land to find out exactly what the opposition held for them. There was nothing wrong with that. They were being cautious. They wanted to know what was ahead of them in order that they may prepare. This is simply good business, but there is another consequences of knowing the future, and that is fear. If we always knew what lie ahead for us, how many of us would be fearful? But God can show you what lies ahead and still give you the courage and the faith to continue. God revealed to Paul that in every city there would be persecutions. But Paul says, none of these things move me. I know in whom I believe, and I am convinced that he will complete that which he has begun in me. Paul knew what was going to take place. God had revealed it to him. Yet he continued on. But the children of Israel, when they heard what lie ahead, when they heard of the giants and the walled cities, it did not instill faith in them. It did not motivate them to just go forward and possess it. This information instilled fear instead of courage. No doubt Moses thought for sure, once they see how great this land is, once they put their eyeball on the fruits of that land, surely they will be raring to go in. The Bible says that the 12 spies took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord has given us. And then Moses reminded them of this, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandments of the Lord your God. Moses kept on talking. He said that God told him that there shall not be one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land. And then he said, the Lord also was angry with me for your sakes, saying that I would not go in there either. When I read that, I saw then that the book of Deuteronomy, in some senses, is one of the saddest books in the Bible. It is the last will and testament of a disappointed man. It is the record that all that Moses had to say to the children of Israel on the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year of their wandering in the wilderness on the wrong side of Jordan and barely on the right side of the Red Sea. This was 40 years after Moses had led his people out of Egypt. And the Bible says of those who died in the wilderness, it is written in Hebrews 3:19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. This is a sobering thought, to realize that Moses too died in the wilderness. numbered among the unbelieving believers, those who had faith enough to get out of Egypt, but did not have faith enough to get into the promised land. Moses was a spiritual giant. There rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unmatched in his moral integrity, unmatched in his selfless sense of duty, in his tireless concern for the people he served, in his nobility of character, in his humble dedication to God. It would seem if ever a man deserved to get into Canaan, it was Moses, but he died in the wilderness. It seems that the lesson that God would have us learn is of such importance and so universal in its application that he purposely chose one of the choices of his servants, lest any should consider himself to be excused. God loved Moses, and I cannot help but be convinced that he will be numbered among the aristocracy of heaven in that great company of the redeemed. Yet the very severity which God dealt with him serves only to emphasize the importance that God attaches to the principle he violated. Add to his nobility of character the fact that Moses was a great leader, a great preacher, a great administrator, a man of great mental stature, and almost everything else that you or I would seek to emulate, embodying all of our highest and holiest ambition. And you have a man whom one cannot help but admire and respect. And yet, in spite of all of this, he died a disappointed man. He never entered the land. No doubt he was sick of his ministry, sick of the people to whom he had ministered, and they were equally sick of him. You remember how at the outset of the journey, God had commanded Moses to smite the rock in Horeb, that water might flow for the children of Israel in the thirsty wilderness of sin. Then, some 38 years later, the children of Israel came to the desert of Zin. In 38 years, all that Moses had succeeded in doing was to lead the people from one location in the desert to another. No matter how gifted you may be, or how great your enthusiasm, no matter what kind of a pulpiteer, or how dynamic your personality, no matter what your social standing, no matter how popular you may be, the best you can ever do in the wilderness with your own life or with the lives of others is to lead them from one location in the desert to another. When you try to do God's work your way and not listen to Him,